Please turn to Matthew chapter 1 as we do begin several weeks of thinking through our Lord's birth, and as the evangelist, that is Matthew for the next couple of weeks, and then Luke for a few weeks, how they present to us the message of the good news of the coming of Christ our Savior. These next few weeks, we're going to actually touch on things I did a little survey and asked some folks what verses were meaningful to them for Christmas, and it kind of worked out really well for the next few. This morning is something that I chose that you don't always think about as a passage for a sermon. That's the genealogy of Jesus, as Matthew lists it. So we're going to read Matthew 1:1-16. And this begins just like Genesis. This would, Matthew being the Hebrew scholar that he was, is reminding us of even how the very Bible, the Old Testament, began as well. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram, and Ram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David the king. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. And Solomon the father of Rehoboam. And Rehoboam the father of Abijah. And Abijah the father of Asaph. And Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat the father of Joram. And Joram the father of Uzziah. And Uzziah the father of Jotham. And Jotham the father of Ahaz. And Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh the father of Amos, and Amos the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Achim, and Achim the father of Eliud, and Eliud the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Mathan, and Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who was called Christ. This is God's word. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, what a story we have just read. What images it brings into our minds. As we consider it now, it's our prayer that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A genealogy is the way that Matthew begins to tell us the story of Jesus. Now, we might not begin a piece of literature that way, wanting to arrest the attention of the audience, but this would have arrested the attention of the audience as Matthew intended it when he first wrote it. For of course, a young Jewish child going off to school would present his genealogy, his upbringing, his parents and grandparents and such to show who he was in the community, where he came from. We can understand that to a degree, can't we? Of course, to go to temple worship in the first century as well. Your genealogy, your identification as a member of families received into the temple would have been, in a sense, an identification card, like we might use a driver's license today, showing that you had a place here. You were welcome here. Who are you? The genealogy answers that question. And so Matthew, as he begins his, he gives what is a royal genealogy of Jesus as the king. Luke gives a little bit more, as we're not going to cover his, more of a biological genealogy. This wouldn't include necessarily every single person all along the line. When it says the father of, that's a fairly generic term, meaning a member of the clan, a member of the family. And so Matthew, he summarizes, he gives a thesis statement, you might say, both to the genealogy and really to the whole story he's going to tell in verse 1. The book of beginnings of Jesus, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, that is anointed. Christ means anointed. The son of David, the son of Abraham. If I could redo your notes, I'd probably put A and then put 1 and 2. For A, I would say, God keeps his promises. And then I would include numbers 1 and 2 on your sermon notes. That's my first point. We're going to use these as subpoints. A, God keeps his promises. That's what Matthew was saying from the beginning as he began to tell the story. Again, he's writing this after Jesus has been born, has lived, has died for sinners, has raised again, has ascended to heaven. He's telling the story of who this was. This was a new kind of literature. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are Gospels. So he starts off saying, God keeps his promises. God does what he says he will do. God's word is true. Because you see, this Jesus, whom we call the Christ, is the son of Abraham. God called Abraham from Ur in the Chaldees and led him on a long journey. Gave him a child when he was 100 and his wife was 90, the child of the promise. Abraham's the one that we're told, though it would have been impossible in human terms to have a child, God said, look at the stars in the sky, so will your offspring be. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He's our father in the faith. All of us who trust in Jesus, his son, seed, by the way, when he said, I'm going to bless your seed, it was singular. Looking forward to that one offspring, Jesus. If you trust in him, you're Abraham's offspring yourself. All of us in this room who trust Jesus, who are united to him, we're Abraham's offspring. God further said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing to the nations. Right from the beginning, he said, not just those who come after you, who will ultimately going to be called Israelites after one of your sons, Jacob, who I will call Israel. Not just the Israelites, but the whole world. All who come in faith will be blessed by you, will become your spiritual children. God keeps his promises because Jesus is the son of Abraham, the blessing to the nations. And we're those blessed through the keeping of that promise. Jesus is also the son of David, the king and healer of the nations. The high point of Israel's time in the Old Testament was David's kingship. God made David, the shepherd boy, the youngest of that group of brothers, his king. David's the one who wrote that song, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me in quiet waters. He restores my soul. David, in the height of his power, he wanted to build God a temple, but God said, no, David, you're not going to build me a house. I'm going to let your son do that. It's good you want to build me a house, but you know what, David, I'm actually going to build you a house. I'm going to put someone out of your offspring on my throne forever. He's going to sit on my throne forevermore, one of your children, David. That child is Jesus. Now, folks like Abraham and David and others in the Old Testament, they point toward Christ in God's calling of them, his anointing of them, all of the prophets, kings, priests, others were anointed like Christ for special service. David was unique, and we're going to see later, these were all sinful people, Abraham and David included. Abraham, our father in the faith, David, a king, a poet, and a kind man. The one who took Mephibosheth, his friend Jonathan's son, lame in both feet, and brought him to sit at his table, bringing healing to the needy. Jesus is his son. Jeremiah told us, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, I will raise up for David a righteous branch. He shall reign as king, and he will deal wisely and execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness." That's who Jesus is, David's son, the Lord, our righteousness. Isaiah told us, I think we'll think about this one on Christmas Eve. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And what shall his name be called?" What amazing names. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there'll be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So God keeps his promises, folks. Jesus is the son of Abraham. He's the son of David. Jesus is a blessing to the nations. That includes us. Jesus is our king. He's the healer. God keeps his promises. But God also saves his people. That would be my B. God saves his people. And then, of course, under B, we'll have our number three in our outline. Jesus is the Christ. That's what it says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. The conclusion of our section in verse 10, it says, "Of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ." That is the anointed one, the Messiah, the one they were looking for. Now, they had a confusing thought of what this Messiah was going to be, but when you look back in the Old Testament as a whole, you see that in Jesus it all comes together. The prophet that Moses said would come, that would be a prophet like him. The king after David and David's line. The priest who would not have to atone for his own sins, for he would have none. The priest who would sacrifice himself, actually, and end the sacrifices of animals for good. The Christ, the anointed one, he came to accomplish salvation for sinners. But Matthew doesn't stop there. He could have stopped there and gone from chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 16. He could have. He would have probably had a lot less embarrassment if we want to think of it that way, of listing these folks. Do you see the names listed? I can't possibly go through them all, but Mark Ross, I have listed in your notes. Matthew does not explain specifically his purpose in listing the genealogy. But whatever else he might be saying, he's certainly making it clear that Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. That is, brothers and sisters. Because you see, Matthew tells us that Jesus comes out of this long line. No, Abraham's our father in the faith, but he lied twice to try to protect himself, saying that his wife was his sister. He chose to, in a moment of doubt, I suppose you could say, not trusting God's promise, he had a child with his wife's servant. Judah wouldn't provide a husband for his daughter-in-law, Tamar. And so Tamar had to act as a prostitute and seduce Judah so that she might become pregnant and the line carry on. That's part of Jesus' family tree. Prostitution. Incest. Ruth. Now, Ruth herself showed amazing faith, but Ruth was from Moab. Do you know that Moabites also ultimately conceived in incest, but Moabites weren't allowed in the assembly of worship to the 10th generation? They were not a people welcomed among God's family. And yet Ruth is one of Jesus' grandmothers down the line. David, oh David. The man after God's own heart, yet the one who looked at a woman lustfully, took her, had sexual relations with her, eventually took her as his wife. That it seems he's making a point. He doesn't say Bathsheba. Matthew says, wife of Uriah. By the way, for any who say that, you know, that the Bible doesn't hold women in regard, Matthew is listing females, women, in Jesus' family tree. Solomon had a wonderful prayer for wisdom, and then later in his life, sinned in every way conceivable before coming back in the end. Then there's a number of evil kings listed. Oh, I forgot Rahab. Rahab the prostitute listed in the line of Jesus. Folks, God came to save sinners. Jesus, his own family, includes this. It's a little uncomfortable, isn't it, to even talk about it? I guess I try to speak it in a PG language. We know it's really a lot worse than that, isn't it, when you look at it? These are the ones that Jesus came to save. God saves his people. He's not ashamed. To kind of put all this together, and then I want to apply it to us, but put it kind of all together, Dan Doriani put it like this in one of his Christmas sermons. He's a professor at Covenant Seminary. Jesus is the king, anointed to defeat our greatest foes, sin and death. Jesus is the priest, anointed to offer a sacrifice to remove the guilt of sin, the guilt. He's the prophet, anointed to tell the truth about humanity and himself. The greatest truth is that he defeated sin for us because we cannot defeat sin. He offered himself to remove our guilt because we cannot atone or compensate for our sin. Jesus comes to be among sinners. He lived among sinners. Matthew being one of them. Matthew was a tax collector. He knows what it's like to be one who was hated. And to be shown the compassion of Jesus. To be called not only a disciple, but in his case, an apostle. He knows what it's like to be scorned, but for Jesus to reach out his hand and say, come. Come to me and find rest. Jesus receives sinners like us. He saves us. He takes us as we are, but he refuses to leave us that way. So let me ask you, what's in your family tree? Are there people in your family tree, when you think about them, you feel shame? You don't have to do that. You know, I can say we really do talk like this in our day. So-and-so, he's so-and-so's son. You know, when I was a boy, if you had said, you use that for me, Carmichael, people would have felt sorry back in those days when I was a boy to be a Carmichael. Thank the Lord he's worked in my dad's life and in my family's life, but I know how it feels to be embarrassed about some aspects of your heritage. Any of you, if you do, you don't have to. Jesus, he calls us brother, he calls us sister. Don't be ashamed. He comes and he takes us as we are, and as David with Mephibosheth, Jesus sits us at this table, the table of a king. Don't be ashamed. But I want to apply it to ourselves too, even more, the sins, the sexual sins among this. If you struggle with lust, and this is men and women, pornography, are tempted in sexual sin, repent. Repent. Come to Jesus. Repent now. Talk to somebody if you need to. I'll talk to you or find a friend. This is part of Jesus' family tree. Those who sinned in this way. The answer isn't to run away and hide. The answer is to repent. Come to Jesus. He's gentle and lowly in heart. Find rest for your souls. If you have others further in your life who you see them spiraling away, they've run away from the Lord and they ought to be with Him, pray. If anything, this tells us, pray. We do, unfortunately, since our parents sinned, we do pass along sin by having children. We pass along sin. Unfortunately, we can't pass along grace. But remember, God keeps His promises. And if God's promise has been put upon you, been baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then cling to that promise. In our case, baptizing children, we cling that, Lord, You will save these. You will take their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Keep praying for your child or your nephew or your niece or your parents that God will bring them home. You remember David? At his worst moment, he began to have a little self-righteousness over that story that Nathan the prophet told him. You remember? Told him a story about an evil person taking something of somebody else's that wasn't his. And David said, oh, justice needs to come. And then Nathan said, you're the man. And David repented. And he wrote Psalm 51. Repent, come, come. You're in Jesus' family. Come, He's the only one you can come to. Don't leave here with shame, with worldly sorrow, but let's have godly grief that brings repentance without regret. Believe the gospel. Jesus saves. He's the son of Abraham, blessing to the nations. He's the son of David, the king and healer of the nations. He's the anointed one. He was anointed and appointed to come and save, to accomplish salvation for those of us who sin the same sins as this list, that we might repent, might come to Him. His yoke is easy, His burden is light. Come to Him and find rest for your souls. Amen. Father, we acknowledge there's nothing boring about this list. This is a story of our Savior, the story of the redemption of your people. Apply that redemption to our hearts, even today. We pray in Christ's name.